Hey everyone, it's Ariel Helwani.
And I'm Chuck Mendenhall.
And I'm PT Carroll, and together we are 3PAC.
Join us on the brand new Spotify Live app immediately after all of the biggest fights in combat sports.
And also during the weigh-ins, because that's when the real drama happens.
So what are you waiting for? Follow the Ringer MMA show right now on our exclusive Spotify podcast feed.
And come join the best community in MMA.
Peace! We're out of here.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Shout out Zach Edwards.
The majesty.
Oh my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
A 1,000% confirmed.
Mage. Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
Mage.
Male.
Major.
Mage.
It's still rooted.
Mage.
Male.
Major.
Mage.
It's still rooted.
Shout out, Zach Edwards.
I like delicious chicken.
It was Rapop.
It's professional. Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast is back. I know you didn't think it was possible, but here we are on this Tuesday, February 7th, with Cheap Heat, Ringer Wrestling Show. I'm your forever 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg, coming to you from the less frigid, more manageable New York City. Joining me from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is the physically working and not on vacation at the moment, Stat Guy Greg.
At the moment. I'm looking for another vacation, though. I need one.
Let's not pretend
I'm
like
going
you
on vacation
don't...
next week. Yeah, yeah.
I was about to say, let's not pretend like there's not an imminent one on the books.
Yeah, yeah. There's one next week. There's one next week.
Where are you going next week?
Costa Rica.
But weren't you gone last week?
Last week? No. Last week I was home.
Two weeks ago, though, you missed the show, didn't you? Weren't you somewhere?
I was in trial. That's not. We don't.
Wait, the day you missed the show was just a trial. You weren't away in the last couple of weeks. I'm messing that up.
No, yeah, I wasn't away in the last couple of weeks. I was on trial.
So when was your last vacation? We have to keep track of this. Your last vacation.
Vacation was London.
How long ago? That was
like January. That was my January vacation. So for February, my February vacation is closed. That was my December, January vacation, London and Paris.
By the way, you started and Zach December, should start a podcast just called Ouchia. We just Ouchia. and we go out west to the yet to complain in the first 5 minutes that we've seen each other, 35 at 35, Dipperstein. Hello.
You're the son I never had, Peter.
What did I do? Me?
You got to watch Monday Night Raw to contribute to this podcast. Can't just...
Oh, you're the son I never had. Okay, got it. Sorry. I watched the episode. I know what you're talking about. All right. Well, I guess with that, we start with last night's big Raw. The thing that everyone came away talking about was the Paul Heyman, Cody Rhodes of it all. So let's go to the number one Cody Rhodes story skeptic, Mr. Dipperstein, although everyone on the show, we were all in the camp concerned. Well, this was
varying,
this
yeah yeah this varying show degrees was, of skepticism.
Yes, but all of us were campers at Camp Concerned last week. Dip, do you feel any better about the Cody of it all after last night's promo with Paul Heyman?
Here's what I'll say. Of course not. But here's what I'll say about the promo.
Of course not. That's right. Mm-hmm.
It was great, of course. I mean, there's no one better than Paul Heyman. I said it last week that he's, you know, one of the greatest gifts we have. But I'll tell you what would be great. Okay. You want to make this a little bit more interesting than just the regular, we dislike each other and we're after the belt feud. Keep him away from Cody. Keep Roman and Cody away from each other until they're face to face at Mania, and just have Paul be the mouthpiece completely for the entire feud. That would be unique and interesting, because I don't need to see just a regular conventional run in, run out. You know, they're feuding, they hate each other, but we don't really know why, because one wants the belt and the one doesn't. I don't need to see that.
I don't hate what you're saying, but you're completely skipping over the fact that last night they did something that you regularly complain about they don't do enough, which is acknowledge history that exists that's meaningful. They got into a real, you know, they did a beautiful mix of real and not real sort of interactions between the Rhodes family and Paul Heyman, and they made it something.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was one of the best segments I've seen on Raw in years.
Well, Pete, what are you insinuating was not real? You don't think that Roman is the son that that Dusty had always wanted?
I do not think Dusty said this
industry dominating.
I don't want to upset people like Dip who don't like hearing this, but I do not believe that Dusty Rhodes uttered the words, "Roman Reigns is the son I never had." I do not believe that, no.
He might have said Leaki. Roman might have been going by a different name at the time.
He might have said it at catering a few times. You never know. He might have whispered when, you know, he was getting his coffee at catering, or one of his chicken turkey legs.
It's possible he said it to Dustin and not to Heyman, and that's the fiction in the story, that Heyman just overheard it and he didn't say it directly to him.
Over building a nice turkey sandwich on white bread.
Right.
You know, with cheese and... With Munster cheese and mayonnaise and lettuce and tomatoes and pickles and
why are you assuming that that's what Dusty would make at in catering?
I think he eats a turkey sandwich, and then I think he probably gets a turkey leg. Then he gets two M&M cookies, and then maybe some soup.
then some soup.
First of all, there's not turkey legs sitting around loose at every.
I saw a turkey leg one year. I saw a turkey leg.
Yeah, maybe you've seen one turkey leg, but I mean, it's not a common occurrence. So, I do hear you. I could see a meat and cheese sandwich on white bread for sure. He's just a common man.
And by the way, he doesn't cut it in halves. He just eats it. He puts the sandwich together and just takes a bite.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question: do you always cut the sandwich? Or are you sometimes making the sandwich and just biting right into it?
Sometimes, obviously, I'm making and biting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're a maker and biter.
You can't always cut.
You're a maker and biter.
I'm not always cutting.
I feel like I'm rarely cut now.
What am I, six?
If I buy it gets cut because I have no say in the matter.
It's nice to have two. Excuse me. It's nice to have two. Excuse me.
Dippy Guerrero over here.
It's nice to have, or Vicky Guerrero, Trump. It's nice to have two halves of a sandwich. You eat one and then you eat the other. Biting into the sandwich and just eating the sandwich.
I agree. Oh, I agree. It's definitively better.
Especially if you have the right knife.
You got to have the right knife.
You can't cut it with a butter knife.
Sometimes cutting white bread in general is like, it's all so moist that like you're barely cutting at all. You know, you have to be mindful. Although, let's be real. I'm Jewish. I only have whole wheat in my house. Multigrain and whole wheat. That's the only bread that exists here. An occasional rye.
Really? You've never bought sourdough?
I think what he's trying to say is that white bread is the lowest tier.
Of course, I'm not buying white bread.
By the way, hold on. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm always on a diet. White bread. Oh. Wonder bread is mage.
Mage.
What?
I love it too.
The whitest white bread. It's like sweet. You make a PB&J on Wonder Bread. It's like dessert. It's like cake. You're just making a cake. You're making a peanut butter cake. I'm telling you.
I don't know. I'm not sold on Wonder Bread.
Have you ever had it?
Long time ago, and I didn't like it. It's out.
I mean, it's repug. It's my pug.
Tried it twice just to make sure that it was ass, and it was. It's been out ever since.
It's great. I love white bread. I wish I was allowed to have white bread in my house. My parents would never have white bread.
Never. My parents have never bought Wonder Bread or anything like that. It was always Pepperidge Farm rye, and then it was toasted.
Yeah, Pepperidge Farm makes good white bread. I like Pepperidge Farm's bread. But Wonder Bread, though, I can't go that far.
Oh, wait, so you're not talking about it being white bread? You're talking about the brand? Just the brand?
Yeah, the brand. Wonder Bread, I can't.
Oh, okay, fine. I mean, listen, it's all the same family, though. Straight up white bread with PB&J is cake. I mean, that's delicious.
Let me tell you, as much as I love bagels, I don't own a bagel cutter and never have. Do you guys have a bagel cutter? Peter, you don't own that. You don't have that.
No.
Yeah.
By the way,
definitely doesn't.
By the way, it's definitely worthwhile, too. Like, you'd think if you have a lot of bagels. But honestly, I don't make bagels at home a ton yet. I mean, I like to think that one day Natalie and I have a family, we'll have people over for brunch, and there'll be lots of... But now most of our bagels come in an order from a store where they're giving me a sliced bagel.
Yeah, you're like a big pre-made guy. You're not buying things to just have in the house.
No, I don't. You know I don't do that. I don't have anything.
Neither do I. I'm never home.
Yeah, I never have food in my house. It sucks. Now that Natalie's here, we're getting better. But like, I'm generally not a big. I'm not to be trusted, so I can't keep lots of good food in the house.
I have Howie Tannenbaum. I have Howie staying here for the week again. As you know, he opens my fridge. He there's nothing in there. There's like a 4 or 5 Modellos.
Can you imagine? No, and there's lots of coffee mixers. Can you imagine the amount of trips and the amount of money being spent on the grocery trips that they're doing in that Tannenbaum household?
Oh, I can't even. I opened that
Costco
fridge.
In business.
You couldn't fit a toothpick in that refrigerator. Okay.
To anyone out there listening who like is insane enough to have 3 or more children, those grocery trips must be
$700, $800.
Dude, I can't even imagine in this era what you're dealing with. The frequency, because you know, I mean, SGG, imagine if you have 3 kids and now, like, let's say the kids are like 10, 13, and 15. Everything that you want to eat is gone by the time you get to it.
Yeah, you don't got a shot. As soon as it hits the fridge.
That's
DOA. It's DOA.
I gotta tell you, I don't know if I'm gonna do well with that. Like, wait a second. I make the money. I put it in the fridge. I come here and it's gone. Hell no. I don't know.
I feel like you have every time I'm in the kitchen, you in the kitchen speech.
Oh, yeah. No, I have that prepared. Listen, I'm going to treat these kids like they're Dominic Mysterio, you know, each one of them.
Eventually they'll turn on you.
Yeah. And they'll show up to the holidays and you're not worried about food. You're not worried about who eats the white bread. You're worried about getting beat up by your son and his girlfriend. Now, I really, really loved it. I found it interesting. And SGG, you always are aware of what's going on in wrestling, Twitter, et cetera. It seemed like based on a post I saw from the Masked Man show, something that Kaz said on the Masked Man show, he was sort of like coming to the defense of the Cody story. Was there like, but he wasn't the only person I saw that. I saw a lot of people. I saw more people defending the Cody story than I saw people actually attacking the Cody story. I guess it's just the way that I interact with wrestling Twitter. Like, I'm not following every yo-yo who talks about wrestling, so I don't know. But like, what was the general sentiment? Am I wrong for seeing that there was clearly some sort of back and forth between people who, like us, were concerned about the story, and then people who were kind of mad that people were concerned about the story?
Yeah, I've seen a split. I've seen people who were concerned about the story because I said myself, like, listen, Cody needs some type of adversity. ever since he came back at WrestleMania, aside from the injury, which wasn't given to us by the writers, it was sort of like a gift from the gods. Every single thing has gone his way, including announcing that he's coming back, entering the Rumble at 30, and then winning the Rumble. Like, we need some type of stumbling block, some type of story. And then I've seen people who want Sammy inserted into this story, and to the point of Sammy being the one to possibly take the title off of Roman at WrestleMania. And then I've seen, you know, people who are in the camp of like, listen, everything is good. The crowd's not going to turn. Cody's got this. Cody needs to go to WrestleMania, and we need to kickstart the Cody era with the title win. So I've been seeing this. It's like a mixed bag, really, when it comes to Cody, which you wouldn't know, because once his music hits, it feels like everybody's on board and everybody's engaged with whatever happens, even more so when it was him and Heyman. But
go ahead, Dip, your thoughts.
I don't mean to veer the conversation a little bit, but
how far are you veering here?
Yeah, if that's what you're going to do, you may not.
Yeah, you may not. I want to respond to that. I want to discuss the
No,
the
you
Cody.
Respond, and then I'm going to.
And then you can veer.
I'm going to veer. Yeah,
and then you can shanky if you want also. I guess I got annoyed at seeing this like immediate run to the defense of Cody. It was almost like treated as if the criticism of the story was like, oh, you know, the internet, always haters.
Right.
Just to be clear, I was in the building. I did not watch Twitter. I did not hear commentary. I literally felt how the building felt and then came back here and was like, here are my concerns. There was excitement. There was good stuff, but there was also a flatness in the air that existed. So like, people are so quick now to think that something's hate that they almost feel obligated to jump to the defense. Yo, Cody's, I think anyone who loves wrestling is excited that Cody's back in WWE, that Cody's going to be in a big spot, is generally into Cody, period. Like, the guy's brand is put together beautifully. Like, I have nothing but respect for the way Cody has conducted himself in every way in WWE.
And extremely dapper, too. Did you see the look last night that he came? I mean,
there's no one more dapper. There's no one more like his. And he's like an athlete. He really literally wears a suit every minute that he's not in the ring. He treats it like he is a pro athlete who needs to only be seen in a suit all the time. Anyways, people get to take things so personally. Like, no one's trying to say that Cody's doing anything bad, but the fact of the matter is, guys, history is a thing. You have to be real. If someone gets too much too fast, it's not about the internet fans. It's about all fans. Whether you accept it or not, they will turn. And everyone, I think it was Kaz. I think Kaz said, like, he'll be fine, just like all the other top, you know, baby faces were fine. They weren't all fine all the time. Like, I am not going to sit here and allow history to be retold. Okay, John Cena was not over for his entire run on top. There were a lot of times when the complete mixed crowd was not what was wanted. It was not, they may look back now and go, it was great because you got a reaction. As long as people react, sometimes that's true. Sometimes there were legitimate groans because Super Cena was force fed down people's throats. And that's why nerds like me would ask him anytime we got a chance, hey, do you think you'll ever turn heel? It wasn't because people don't think he's awesome or think he's capable. Quite the opposite. It's because you want to see the most out of these guys, and repeating the same good guy thing over and over and over again gets hard. Roman Reigns, you guys are going to pretend that what happened in Philadelphia 8 years ago, that was like a good thing? It wasn't. That was a disaster.
I'll say this. Yeah. I'll say this too about Roman Reigns specifically. It felt, for him, it did feel like hate, because it felt like he was in a constant state of winning the crowd over. And that he constantly did it, right? Because he won the Rumble in Philly. And now, mind you, this is after being the runner-up in the Rumble previously and being cheered and people wanted him to win. But then he won the Rumble in Philly the very next year. The crowd booed. He gets the title, loses it the same night to Sheamus via Money in the Bank. Wins the title in Philly. That same Philly crowd is cheering for him for the title win, legitimately celebrating with him. You think it's put to bed. And then the same thing happens to him in Philly and in other towns until after COVID starts of where.
But that's not the fact of the matter is SGG. That's not just hating. They yes, there was a piece of it that was hating because the crowd loved Roman, and then when they went with Roman, the crowd turned on Roman. Some of that though has to be attributed to the storytelling. Like they didn't have to hate on Roman. But when you give people everything and they win every big moment and they overcome the odds every time, it's not 1987. People aren't going to get over the Hulk Hogan way anymore. They're just not. That's not the same thing. So that's all I think people are saying about Cody is not that he's not fantastic and that people aren't excited about it. They just want to see the story told well. And I thought last night was a step in the right direction to making sure that story gets told well. All right.
I agree. Hold on, before Dip veers it off, I agree that it did need a story, and last night was a fantastic way. And just with using Heyman in the history, I think it was perfect. It reminded me of WrestleMania 31, too, in the lead-up. They sort of did the same thing with Roman, right, where Heyman was representing this monstrous, unbeatable force in Brock Lesnar, and Roman was challenging him. And I think Heyman and Roman cut sort of the same promo where Heyman was basically like, listen, I know you. I've known you for a long time. I've gone back with your family for a long time, but my client is just unstoppable. So we'll see if history repeats itself in that way, in that, you know, Cody does not walk out with the title, even though Brock also didn't walk out with the title.
Well, thanks for accidentally pouring water on it by being like, no, it was really great. It's the exact same thing they did at WrestleMania 31.
It's fantastic, though. But like, it's true, though. Like, you cannot ignore these histories, right? And Heyman is the perfect guy because he's been around so long and he has all of these connections that, like, if there's somebody coming up, you can even slot Heyman into with somebody who doesn't have that family history and say, look, I saw you coming up, I saw you doing this, and I knew you had potential, and here you are, but you're still not ready because my guy is the guy. And that guy could be Roman, it could be anybody else, because Heyman as a constant is a great person to have at the top because he's going to get these stories moving.
All right, Dip, take us on a Veer and Shanky.
I'm still there's 10% of me that's convinced that they're working us and that The Rock is going to be at Mania. And there's a campaign of working going on here. A bunch of people are in on.
That's not a crazy thing to me. I haven't given up on that. Like, it's not going to be Sammy at Mania.
What are they going to do for the second night or the first night? It'll be Bianca and Alexa Bliss.
If we're pretending that it's that if we're going with Roman has one match against Cody Rhodes and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Sunday night.
It'll be Rhea and Charlotte headlining Saturday.
Probably.
Yeah.
Does that have enough? That doesn't have enough juice yet. I won't go so far as saying
not yet. But we don't know who Bianca's opponent's going to be.
Rhea's going to have to really lean into the heel stuff for
it could be the tag match.
The Charlotte match.
No, I agree. It could be Sammy and KO versus the Usos night one.
I doubt it. Maybe.
I mean, Sammy's the biggest thing going. I don't think that's going to change overnight. That would be pretty big.
I'm still holding out hope. And not that I'm not the biggest Rock guy. I mean, I'm not like Mr. Rock, as you know. I like him, but I'm not like that. But it still would be great to see. If he doesn't come this year, what's the point ever again? It's like, this is the year.
This weekend, I feel like Jay-Z is Mr. Rock, right? Did everybody see the Grammys? How excited Hov was when The Rock hit the stage?
No, I didn't even see that. He got very excited?
Well, extremely. Like, he's clapping his hands. He was like, yes, Rock. The Rock was sitting close to him the whole night. So, I mean.
They had just been sitting at the same table. It was very interesting. Beyonce was like, Beyonce and Jay-Z were late for the Grammys. Jay-Z sat down. Beyonce still wasn't there. I guess she's getting dressed or doing whatever. And then it's like The Rock took Beyonce's seat for a while and sat at the table.
Yeah.
And then he moved.
And other also WWE legend Bad Bunny was at the next table. Like, you could see him in the frame of some of the conversations with Beyonce, Hov, and The Rock. But yeah,
I think the Grammy night. That's a fun opportunity missed between Bad Bunny and The Rock.
Yeah. Did Bad Bunny have a slammy that he could have brought to the show and just sat down at the table like, yo, Rock, I know.
It's a great point. I haven't given up. I haven't completely given up on The Rock. I certainly hope there's still a surprise out there. Like,
I think the Rock helps Cody win. I don't know. Looks like they're veering away. Like, if they're going to focus all the attention now on Cody and Roman, they're going to veer away from the Sammy thing, and they're going to make it more about the Usos and KO.
Well, but hold on. You're getting caught up in what we saw last night. On Friday, it was pretty mage. The Sami Zayn attack on Roman was pretty mage. I did not expect that. I was legit surprised.
He hit a spear. He hit an impressive spear.
Yeah, like I was surprised, and I sort of liked the unhinged Sammy, that he showed up completely unhinged and beat the hell out of him. I thought that was cool. I don't know. I can't be sure that they're just going to completely give up on that. Like, that would be, honestly, it would be really crazy. Something that has this much juice to be like, nah, we're good. We got something else. It's not going to be Sammy anyway. Okay, fine. It's not going to be Sammy. Sammy's not going to be the guy who forever holds the title. In his interview with Ariel, he basically indicated as much that he didn't expect he would be that guy. Okay. Right. But that doesn't mean you throw away the whole story, like the baby with the bathwater. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that's the thing that has me excited, though, is the fact that I don't know, right? And at this point, especially leading up to WrestleMania, I trust that with the top storylines, especially with the Roman storyline, whether it's Cody or Sammy, or it's Cody one night, Sammy another night, or Cody and Sammy in a triple threat, or something else, Cody and something else entirely, or Cody and nothing else entirely. Whatever they give Roman is going to be, I think it's going to be fantastic storytelling. So I'm just
waiting to see it. This is a controversial take from you, SUG. Really, you think the Roman thing's going to be good? I never would have.
Yeah, and then I'm just waiting to see what happens when they ring the bell. The only
do you enjoy do you enjoy what Bret Hart's done in the past as well? I mean, like, this is pretty out there for you to say.
The guy with the pink bike is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible. So this just in, if you're looking for a headline to come away from Cheap Heat from this week, SGG thinks Roman's going to do a great job at Mania. That is.
And the story leading up to it is going to be.
And the story is going to be
top notch.
Top notch. It was a good step. For some reason, I felt like at the end of the scene when Cody walked out, I don't know why, I felt like I was like looking for one other thing. I don't know what it was that I was looking for, but they have a lot more time, and it was a cool moment. So I'm not going to complain.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Last night, we saw Lita come back and team up with Becky Lynch and help out Becky. Did you make it to the end of the episode, Dip?
I literally fell asleep like 10 minutes before it ended. I miss Lita.
Lita yeah. came out and helped Becky, who was getting damage controlled. Now, do we think they were... At least is that leading to anything?
I hope so. I mean, it has to, right? Like,
no.
It has to.
No, it does. No, it doesn't.
I'm she sorry. Just pops up and helps win the cage match and then I goes mean, away. At the very least, we need an explanation, right? Because last time we saw them, it was Becky Lynch in big time Bex mode. She beat Lita, and there was never any like showing of respect afterwards that I can recall. It was just like,
well, you remember last year, I really wanted and felt that Lita should have gotten the Mania match. I think Dip was on the same, but we were on the same page. Like it seemed like there was an opportunity there to use Lita more, and people react to her clearly. Maybe it's Lita and Becky in a tag match against Damage Control at Mania.
That sounds right.
Think Rock and Sock versus Evolution kind of deal.
But didn't Evolution have all three members? So would it be an entire tier Damage Control? It wouldn't be for like tag title or anything like that.
Yeah, I was thinking 3-on-2.
Okay.
But maybe Trish comes back. Who knows? But by the way, I don't hate it. Like I don't hate doing that stuff. Dip talks. You talk about this a lot. There's no reason at WrestleMania to not use these legends in big moments. Like I don't subscribe to all the young people need to be on the card. That's there's 2 days of matches. You need some stars mixed in there.
Especially if you want to pull a nostalgia string, they have to now. Like they that nostalgia string, they have to pull it. Like they have to bring in some people that the old heads remember. And I hate that I'm one of the old heads. I need to see a returning legend from one of the eras.
I need to see Barbarian and Warlord.
That's right. And what would you like to see them do at Mania?
I'd like to see them beat the purple gang. Beat up the purple gang.
It was a missed opportunity to have them play some poker at Raw 30.
There must be a reason why there's no Warlord in Powers of Pain. Or Warlord in Barbarian. There must be a reason.
Well, I was going to say,
are they part of that lawsuit?
I was going to say, there's a reason that they're part of nothing, right?
Yeah, and Demolition.
Yeah, Demolition really does nothing too, right?
I mean, Bill Eadie looks really old, but he still looks like a wrestler. But, you know, Smash, you know, even though he's bald, you know, he was bald at the end in WCW too.
The bottom line is
he was bald as Repo Man. He was bald as Repo Man.
He was bald as Repo Man. Bald the Jace. Bald the Jace. It's Repo Man. God, it's so funny. You go back and watch Repo Man, and then as opposed to Smash looked so much bigger than the Repo Man. And I know that Repo Man really slimmed down, but he also was always crouching. Well, he was, you know, because he was hiding.
He wasn't
want anyone
hiding.
To see him doing the repossessing.
Yeah, why was he always sneaking around as the Repo Man?
Because he was repossessing. He was repossessing people. Thanks.
I know, but like, don't you have to just own it? It's what your job is. I mean,
No.
Yeah, but you don't want to be. You don't want to get spotted right away, and then they're off with the goods. You gotta like.
He was repelling and stealth.
Well, listen, guys, I want to jump into an early Black Power rankings.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black.
Now, Montez here's Ford.
Have you seen anybody jump over the turnbuckle? I've never seen that.
Well, I've seen him do it before.
I don't think I can't remember him ever doing that
You've
before.
You've seen him do that before.
With ease, by the way.
That was the first time I think I've noticed it, and it was Mage.
All right, Montez Ford is a great selection. He qualifies for Elimination Chamber. Could this somehow be the beginning of something?
It's the beginning of me proving my point to Greg.
Well, that it's him?
Which was.
That's going to be Montez. Angelo lost his match for the chamber, correct?
Shocking.
Yes, he lost to Damian Priest.
And Montez won. Guys, what if they went What if they went complete bizarro? They finished the Sammy storyline at Elimination Chamber. And, oh, but this chamber isn't for the title opportunity. It's for what? The U.S.?
Austin Theory's title.
Yeah. It's for...
You know what? You know what?
Is Austin Theory in the chamber? I thought it was for opportunity at the U.S. championship.
He's in the chamber.
No, he's chambering and chambering. What about, though, I love the idea of Montez getting that title and the two of them together. Austin Theory and Montez could be great.
Oh, yeah. Anyone in Montez or Austin Theory could be great.
Yeah, they're both really good. Man, together, can you imagine the bump? Can you imagine the bumping they'd be doing for each other? The two of them would be flying all over the place. All right, so, but mine was actually going to be, do you believe in miracles? The Hurt Business got a win on TV.
Clean, too, I believe.
Cedric Alexander with a clean pin in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. By the way, can I tell you guys something? I don't know if we've ever discussed this before, but after getting to spend some like extended time with him for the first time last weekend, update on Cedric Alexander. He's a great guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. An absolute GG.
Listen, he wouldn't be MVP certified if he wasn't.
That's not true. Listen, MVP's rolled in a lot of circles, okay? Listen, I know that man very well. Spent a lot of time in jail. Spent a lot of time running through the indies meeting God knows who. Just because they roll with MVP, that it's a good sign, but okay. It's not. Alexander is above and beyond.
It's not definitive.
No, it's not definitive. I have a lot of good friends that I love them, and I like most of their friends. By the way, Dipperstein? You can't co-sign all of Dipperstein's friends. Have you ever seen his ne'er-do-well went friends from Philadelphia? Believe me, you're not co-signing. You got to pick and choose 1,000%. But Cedric, and by the way, Shelton's great too, man. And God, do you see Shelton hit the Samoan drop on Otis?
Yeah.
Yo, Shelton is huge, bro.
He's gargantuan. He's a gargantuan divich.
So I'm
shockingly
giving it
so.
I'm giving it to the Hurt Biz. I don't know if they're officially billed as that yet, but Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, along with MVP. What do you got, SGG?
Listen, the only way back. I'm giving it to Carmelo Hayes of NXT. NXT Vengeance Day was this weekend. He had a match with Apollo Crews, but mostly because, you know, every year I kickstart off Black History Month by joining Black Announce Table to talk about some up-and-coming black talent, or just some black talent in general. And this past week, we spent about a half an hour just talking about Carmelo Hayes, talking about his career, showing him some respect. So, and then he flowed into that Vengeance Day pay per view with a nice match and a win. So I'm going to give it to Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Carmelo Hayes is you guys know I don't know all things NXT, but I know one thing: Carmelo Hayes seems a mage, charisma up a storm. How was the paper? How was the premium live event in general? How did Roxanne Perez do?
Oh, she did great. She retained. Fantastic interview by you, by the way.
Thank you. Thank
on the Friday.
By the way, what are people talking about how major her story is yet?
No, which is kind of like, I didn't know as much as I learned from your episode too. I just knew she was first ROH Women's Champion. I knew that there was some connection to Booker T, but I didn't know that they were basically like, you know, in wrestling, you talk about Dusty's kids, that she's basically, you know, she's one of Booker's kids.
Dip, did you, I'm sure you didn't listen to the interview. Roxanne Perez, I mean, literally decided as a 13-year-old, like, or 10-year-old, I'm going to do this. And by 13 was training with 30-year-old men. And by 15 was taking the bus hours by herself with her mom monitoring her on her iPhone to see where she was, right, make sure she was alive so she could go wrestle in indie shows. It's a pretty
story. Her music play. She's in the
back. She loves wrestling and thinks wrestling is great.
No, literally, I don't think there's anyone who more loves wrestling and thinks wrestling is great than Roxanne Perez. Also, I saw a video going around that I'd never seen before. I'm sure, SGG, you've seen it. A video going around yesterday on the internet of AJ meeting Lita.
Oh, you ever like seen that? Meet and greet. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you ever seen that, Dip?
No.
AJ Lee meeting Lita, and literally from the second she walks up to her, weeping uncontrollably. And
really?
And she's like 12, but she's very clearly AJ Lee. Like, she looks the same.
Exactly the same, yeah.
Oh, AJ Styles. Or I thought you meant AJ Styles.
No,
AJ
that would be Mage.
Yeah. AJ Lee.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, the leader of the same uncontrollably.
AJ Lee was meeting Lita and crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's nothing.
How old is AJ Styles?
There's nothing more meaningful to me than that. I got to be honest.
AJ is 45. How old is Lita? Lita's 47. So if AJ showed up, you know, she's 25, AJ's 23, and he's just like, I just got to tell you, Lita, you mean so much to me.
Wow.
And my children who I have tattooed.
I cried when I met Razor and Diesel. Hysterical.
Did you?
Hysterical.
You were hysterical?
Yeah. Are you kidding? My parents had to like, I told, you know, in the Spectrum, I've told this story a million times.
Tell us again. We all want to hear it again.
When I met them at the Spectrum, it was 1995, I was at a house show, and I'm literally, my father nudges my mother and says, look, Joel, look what's going on over here. And like sitting in the row, like five people down from us in a row was 1-2-3 Kid,
go ahead.
Alundra Blaze, Razor, yep. Diesel, Owen Hart. It was insane. And I was just...
And did they point it out to you? I
immediately broke down in hysterics.
Did your parents point it out to you?
Yes, they pointed it out. And they walked up to, my father like walked up to Razor and Diesel and said, guys, you gotta meet my son. And then I couldn't even, I was hyperventilating. We walked into like a little we walked into like the little kitchenette in like the Spectrum where the box, box. And
let's go back for a second. Cause I have heard the story. How did your parents get you in the suite? What was the connect?
It wasn't the suite. When I was younger, my friend's mother had like worked for a big corporation that had a box. And so we had the box for one of the house shows in 95. We went into the little kitchenette and Razor came down and Diesel came. I have all the pictures. Razor came down and Diesel came down and Owen Hart and all these people. And I was hysterical crying and they had to like my father had to pull me aside and be like, it's going to be like, it's okay. Like whatever. They were so happy too. Like, you know, it was the biggest at that point, it was the biggest moment of my life.
Oh, what? Not even close.
I mean, my God. When Razor looked at me in the face, I couldn't even, I almost fainted.
Did you take a toothpick to the face?
He had like the all over shirt on, like super tight. And he had the yellow
on. He was wearing the yellow all over print shirt?
He was in gimmick.
Wow. But what, they went up there to meet people?
They went up there just to watch the show. I think we were next to the WWF box. Was next to the WWF box.
Got it.
And and they were so generous. I remember meeting Owen Hart. I remember it. I was 8.
Meeting Owen Hart is very Mage.
Yeah.
He was so nice. Oh, beyond. Shaking and hysterical crying.
What a twist that would have been, by the way, if you were like, got to tell you know, he's a terrible guy. Owen Hart. That would have been a real twist no one saw coming. So they were all lovely, though.
Oh, yeah.
Got to tell you, though, and that's the way I feel like to this day. With very few exceptions, there are some, but with very few exceptions, the locker room is so nice. Like, really, almost everybody there is Mage. It's interesting in that way. It's like, it's not like meeting competitive athletes who really are a crapshoot. Again, they're not entertainers. They're athletes. You roll up to some athlete who you think's awesome. They may give you absolutely nothing. Because WWE superstars know their job is to please people, particularly kids, you're not, unless they're in gimmick and their name's Maxwell Jacob Friedman, you're going to have a nice interaction. And even in Max's case, you know it's, you know, wink, wink. You know, I'm going to treat you like I'm going to sign an autograph that says something mean when you look at it later, which is very Mage. Yeah. So like these people are just all they get it. They get it. Wrestlers get it more than a lot of other athletes do.
Yep.
All right. Let's hit a little bit of
mail.
Do you mind?
No,
please.
We had lots of it, so I figure we should. Let me play the drop in full. Sorry.
Mail.
Also, guys, a big shout out to everyone who's following along with the One Ep podcast. Sif and I working hard to take that thing to the next level. Done some fun episodes. A new episode dropped today with the great El the Sensei of the group Artifacts. If you are a hardcore hip hop head, I think you will enjoy it. Actually, I think anyone enjoy it. But we go to the mailbag. Pavada, who writes, can we talk about how Mage the Paul Heyman and Cody Rhodes segment was? Blurring the lines of truth and kayfabe, it was a masterpiece. Yeah, we can.
Yeah,
and we
did.
And we agree.
Male.
Heyman is very, very good. So is Cody. Adam says, hey guys, hope you're doing well. Here's a mania idea I had. Would like to know your tease. Not sure how to get here, but if they made the main event of Mania a 2 of 3 falls triple threat match with Roman, Cody, and Sammy, where each fall was for one of Roman's belts. Cody could pin Sammy for the WWE belt first, and Sammy could pin Roman for the Universal title second. This order, and this way, it would A, give Cody his big moment of winning the title his father never had. B, protect Roman's unpinned streak, since Sammy would be getting pinned first. C, end the Bloodline storyline and Mania with a satisfying conclusion with Sammy being the one to finally pin Roman for the Universal title, the one he's had the longest. And D, finally separate the belts and give each show their own title again. Looking forward to your feedback. Stay Mage and enjoy yourself. Adam, it's a smart idea. I think it's too convoluted.
Yeah.
A 2 of 3 falls match where each fall gets a title. It's a smart idea. I just can't see the promotion of that seems tough. Now, I do like the idea of, like, I think it's lazy, even though I did it earlier in this show. I do think it's lazy when we're all just like, Sammy can't be champion. He can't be. He can't. Well, what he can't do, there's only one thing Sammy can't do. What Sammy can't do is have a straight up match with Roman Reigns where he just beats him cleanly in the middle of the ring. That would seem incredibly unrealistic. Is there a world, though, in which there's a match and there's Michigas and things happen and Schmazolaru happens and blah, 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 and Sammy ends up laying on top of Roman? Why not? Of course that could happen. Now, I don't think it ends with Sammy then holding the title for a year straight. But listen, everyone doubted that that Daniel Bryan could ever happen. Who would have ever picked that Kofi Kingston was going to be champion? Like, I just don't like that we get into this habit of saying, no, it can't be, because that's what everybody says. There's a way to do it creatively if you wanted to do it.
Yeah, and that's what their business is, right? These stories that culminate with the passing of these championships.
And moment that you like, I can't believe I'm seeing this.
Yeah, they can absolutely do it because they've been doing it my whole life.
Exactly. I don't know why. Well, because Sammy has a big unkempt beard. Like, what's the reason it cannot be him? Like, I don't know. People love Sammy, man. And I will tell you, when he went into that third gear on Friday with the beatdown of Roman, I was like, oh, it made him seem kind of credible as a threat too.
Yeah, like that spear, man. Like there was no fear. He didn't back down at all.
Yeah.
Hit a spear on Roman.
You just can't put Sammy in a box. He's been too good.
Male.
Forever 24. Only you can possibly answer this one. Is there any amount of money or situation where the Grammys would have allowed Roman Reigns to come out and challenge The Rock during the show? LOL, I know. Very far-fetched, but fun to think about. What price range or deal would you have to do to get that done? Who says no? Also, do you guys care about wrestling being in mainstream media? For the Grammy thing, you know, the Grammys themselves, the Grammys are a thing. There's a committee and there's a whole operating system that is the Grammys. So it'd be them and I guess, you know, CBS, who's not a partner with WWE, and their competitors are. It would be them having to agree to it. That said, The Rock is The Rock. So if The Rock was like, hey, we want to do this thing, I want to appear, can I get 30 seconds where we can have this thing happen? I promise it'll make for interesting TV. I wouldn't say it's absolutely impossible, only because he's The Rock. The guy walked out in the middle of the show just to meet Adele, and then later was on stage and presented her with an award. Like, anything's possible. And how do I feel about wrestling in mainstream media? I think when wrestling is at its best and most popular, it is always appearing in different cool places in mainstream media. From literally since the dawn of time, right? Like, maybe not the original golden era, but ever since the 80s rock and wrestling explosion, it goes together. It's,
well, Andre was in on primetime TV, $6 million man, and like doing different things like that.
Yeah, I guess that goes back to what, the late 70s?
Yeah, and then they Peter Maivia in that James Bond movie.
By the
wrestling
way, that,
James Bond.
I did not know that. I did not know that Peter Maivia was the stunt coordinator. Dip, did you watch the episode yet?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
I have to tell you, you are the perfect example of who deserves to be yelled at for not being yeah. caught up on Young Rock. You just told us a story about seeing wrestlers and being uncontrollably in tears. This past week's episode, they did an entire storyline about Pat Patterson's love affair with Louis. Okay? Like, what is happening? It was then about how Peter Maivia broke into film. Then about Andre the Giant getting discovered. Like, now listen, for all the nerds out there who hit me up and go, yeah, Peter, you know, it's not all factually accurate. Yeah, I'm aware. It's a TV show. But damn it, Dip. What are you doing, man? It's the episode. It's the shortest show on TV. I swear to God, each episode, as you do, they might be 10 minutes long.
You're right.
It's 22, crisp 22.
I gotta watch it. I have to get caught up on it because I have really loved what I've seen.
How far, honest, can you tell? I know you like to lie, but can you tell us
one,
the truth?
Episode 8.
How many episodes in are you? Come on.
I haven't watched this season at all.
You have not watched this season at all?
Did you watch any of last season?
Yes, I watched the whole season.
Okay, you eventually finished all of season 1.
Yes.
You has your mom been telling you how good season 2 is?
Yes.
It.
Yes.
This she's episode. With,
my mother's the biggest fan of the show on earth.
So like, I don't understand. We're telling you it's Mage. Your mother's telling you it's Mage. It's a mainstream show about inside wrestling. I wonder what it is that doesn't push you week to week to go, I have to watch this.
I think it's 16-hour work days and then eventually having to watch 9 hours of wrestling a week. I think that's probably what it does it.
Oh, you don't have to watch 9. Let's be honest. 9? Yeah, you have to watch Rampage? Now, I enjoy. Listen, I enjoy.
We've seen the numbers.
No, listen. I don't care about the numbers.
People watch SmackDown and then 1.9 of them decide, all right, I'm going to go on and enjoy the rest of my night.
And by the way, I get it. It's a lot of wrestling on a Friday night. I will say, I do enjoy Rampage. It's just I watch it differently than I watch the other shows.
Yeah, it's like
you don't watch Rampage.
Thing.
It's a put. It's like SGG. I recommend it if Crystal's not, you know, she's doing whatever and hanging with friends, and you just doing whatever. It is a good throw it on after SmackDown for sure. But it's a different kind of animal. That said, we never talk about anything that happens on Rampage. If we get to hour 2 of Dynamite, that's something special. By the way, I just went back and watched the main event from 2 weeks ago with Jay Lethal versus Mark Briscoe. I had not seen it yet. It was very touching. It was very well done. That was a super cool moment. I don't know what the controversy was the week before where they couldn't do it on the show. Actually, did you follow what that was?
Apparently, they wanted to make that episode of Dynamite a Jay Briscoe tribute show, and the reports are that Warner Brothers Discovery stopped it. They said absolutely not. And
is there some reason that we don't know about?
Well, again, because no one made any formal announcement, it's left up to speculation, and you know, so people are speculating that. Some tweets of his that he made I want to say like 9 or 10 years ago that always resurfaced, you know, anytime anybody brings up Jay Briscoe, that because of those tweets and, maybe the Confederate flag in their gear thing that
I didn't even know that.
Discovery did not
got wanna, it. Okay. Did not so wanna, I know I figured there was something like that that was behind it all. Either way, they ended up doing it as a tribute main event the following week. And if you haven't gone back to watch it yet, it was very mage. I will tell you, I don't know that I'm getting enough MJF on TV right now. He shows up to TV and it's like a backstage, just a quick backstage with Maxwell Jacob Friedman and sort of the guy with the mic.
Let it feel special when he's out there. You know what I mean? Like,
I hear you, but then I might say I might almost not want him on TV then. Give me the full special. Like, he's gone for 3 weeks and then he pops back up. Like, he's an attraction.
They can't do that, though.
I don't know that I need to see him interacting with some of the people that he's interacting with. But either way, Dip, I know you're still reeling from the Bandito Daniel Bryan match from a few weeks ago.
I am. Oof. Did you watch it finally?
Yeah, it was very, very good.
We love very wrestling. Good. Wrestling is great.
No, I love wrestling. Wrestling's absolutely great. And I believe Billy Gunn's about to turn on the Acclaimed, Dip. What are your teas?
I think that could be moments. I think it's moments.
It feels like
away.
Moments, right? And I have to tell you something right now. One of the ass boys, one of Billy Gunn's kids, has the most repug tattoo I have ever seen. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The arm fold. Half of it's on his chest, SGG, and the other half is on the inside of his arm. So, like, when his arm's together, it looks like a tattoo. It is repug. All right, guys. I'm very excited to see what happens this Friday on SmackDown. We're just a week and a half away from Chamber Elimination.
I wish I could be in Montreal for that. Just to hear his entrance. Just to hear Sammy's entrance.
Do you think
KO's probably gonna pop up there too?
Do you think it can eclipse like CM Punk in Chicago levels?
Listen, I think yes. What I'm curious to see though is how, because for me, I feel like the pinnacle of like hometown wrestler making their entrance, it was Bret Hart at Canadian Stampede. Where they were in a build, like when the Hart family is making the entrance, you could see the hard camera. The building is rocking so hard that the hard camera is shaking during the Hart family's entrance. So it's not just that the building is loud, it's that the building is rocking. Now, maybe they improved their technology and the hard camera is a little bit more sturdy these days, but I expect that arena to explode when Sami Zayn's music finally hits, and it probably should be the last person's entrance music that we hear hit that night. Like, just let Roman get his entrance, let him get his pyro, let him take his 5 minutes to get to the ring, and then Sammy makes his entrance.
That is one night where I will not be having steak during the main event. I'm going to be sitting right there waiting to feel the vibe.
Gibby's in Montreal, though, if you can arrange it, is a good steakhouse.
Maybe I would do that on Friday. Now, shouts to Carmella, who's back and found her way into the Elimination Chamber. That's set. Asuka, Liv, Nikki Cross, Raquel Rodriguez, Natalya, and Carmella. Also, I didn't get to mention it today, guys. I'm enjoying Chelsea Green. I think it's pretty funny.
She's mage. I like her too.
I think she's charismatic. Like, I think
there's a difference between enjoying and mage. I'm not enjoying it yet, but I don't think she's mage either.
Well, you didn't like either. So what do you mean there's a difference? You said you're not enjoying it, and you don't think she's mage.
There's a difference between she's mage and enjoying it. I don't think I'm enjoying it to the level that you're enjoying it. I think she's fine. I think she's good. You know, she's a good body to have out there, take some pins, move some stories along, which she did on Monday.
That is the burying of the cinch. And I think there could be more to Chelsea Green than literally being a body to be pinned in the middle of the ring. I don't know. I think
not the middle. It could be in the corner. She could tap out too sometimes.
Listen, they're late to getting to the Karen thing, obviously, but it could still be very funny.
You couldn't on top though. Like, it's too topical, too hot button. They needed it to.
Remember, we wanted it then though. We called for it then, but I'll take it now. I think Chelsea Green's talented. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Shout out to the guy who had the awesome Stay Mage sign yesterday. You sir are mage. Yeah. The sign placement of the cinch.
That was the sign of the cinch. That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
His placement, he got the seat. He got the signed seat. It was the beautiful penmanship, the clarity of the letters. It was just so.
Yeah, it was no mistaking it, no doubt.
It was very, very crisp. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. We'll get to more emails next week, and we will see you on Friday, where my guest will be the one and only Jake the Snake Roberts on a something going on Friday. That's right.
I by the way, I'm coming for that.
You want to come? You want to show up on Friday for that?
I would love to.
All right. Well, I'll let you know when we're recording it, and you see if you can squeeze it into your sketch. But yeah,
squeeze for Jake the Snake.
They're promoting his A&E doc that's airing this weekend. So it's time. Yeah, which I'm in, so you know it's going to be fantastic. All right, everyone, stay mage and enjoy yourselves.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Mage.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.